A lot of things is happening. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the thing that happened over in Israel, of the turbulence that they've had there. And some doctor out of New York, a Jewish doctor, went over to the field of Machpelah, as the Bible gives it, down in Hebron. Some of you have been there with us at the tomb of Abraham and Sarah. There's about the only place I think they had left where Muslims and Jews would come together and pray. I don't know what happened to the man. He just kind of went out of his mind, or he got real upset or something. There's a lot of Muslim killing people around the world, and took an M16, I believe it was, and went in there and killed about 50 people and wounded about 100 people. And I think maybe they said he finally killed himself, and then some said that he was overpowered and they finally killed him. But anyway, this throws a great problem, opposes a great problem for the Jews and for the Arabs as to their peace treaty. And now they're all out of sorts, and the leaders are drawing back, and they're all tore up, and they're asking for America to come in and take a part and stop it and see if they can straighten things out. They're also asking if Russia will come in and help straighten it out. So everything's falling in line the way we thought that it would. Things is moving right on, and the Lord is doing his thing while everybody finds a state of confusion and can't do their thing anymore because they're all in a state of confusion. Tonight, I thought maybe we might talk to you just a few minutes about faith. I'd been talking to the brethren some this evening about faith, and it was a few little intricate things that I wanted to make mention of, that sometimes I say these things and we just pass over them and we don't get them unless I just kind of specifically take up the thought on faith. And tonight, maybe the Lord would have us do that. You can be seated. Let's turn over in the gospel, in one of the four gospels. Mark, make reference to this scripture. We've done it so many times. It's one of the best ones to make reference to when it comes to the teachings on faith, even though we've taught from a lot of scriptures on faith. But anyway, just turn in your Bibles over to St. Mark 11:22, where Jesus says, "Have faith in God." And let's just talk just for a few minutes on that, and I won't keep you long. Seems like it's cooling off a little bit already. It makes it a little bit bad in here on you when it cools off. But I understand that maybe tomorrow's the last day of the cold weather. Is that what somebody said? Said it might get cool, and then after that, we'd have warm weather from here on out. The way the weather conditions are now around the world, you're liable to have a little up and down right in the middle of the summer. You can't ever tell. Everything is out of sauce. The Bible said the whole earth is in travail, groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We might think on this tonight that the world is not waiting for the sons of God. The world isn't waiting for the sons of God. The roaring of the sea, the tidal waves, all these things, the turbulence of weather, everything is out of sauce. And the scripture says that they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? The sons of God are already here. They're already here. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, that is, as a son of God. And then John said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. So we are already sons of God. Just as God was in Jesus walking the earth, and nobody could tell, nobody could see, nobody knew that, except to whom it was revealed. So is God today in you and I, still walking in the earth. It's the time of the visitation of the Gentiles, and they're being visited, and they don't know it. They don't know that God is in their midst. They turn a corner and run almost into God. Maybe they turn another corner walking down the street, and they're hurrying around, as David was saying a little early, and almost run into God again. And there is God, for there is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. There is his very body. What they do to you, they do unto God. What they fail to do unto you, they are judged in the day of judgment as failing to do that unto God. So then God is within his temple, that all the world keeps silent, and ye are the temples of God, and the great visitation is going on. and God is walking around everywhere. That means that on the inside, that ye that have been translated into the kingdom of God, that ye are angelic beings. And so that angels are visiting the earth everywhere, walking around in bodies. Ye as angelic beings, as in heaven, you're all as the angels, equal to the angels, and cannot die. So then, your angel is interwoven with Christ, his angel on the inside, is one. And that means that the earth is getting a visitation. And God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. As he looks through your eyes all over the world as to Christians and those, wherever, he's observing things. There's an eye surveillance. He's watching everywhere that you go. He is looking through your eyes out of his temple at the people. And he's looking at the heart of men, the conditions of the world. And that it is a turbulence of war and problems, and all because the men that are running it are beasts. Like when the Lord showed Daniel those things concerning Babylon, he showed Daniel these things as beasts, as a lion, a bear, a leopard. He did that because people are beasts. And he was showing the rulers of the kingdom that they were just mere beasts. But when it comes to you and I, we're not beasts. We're already bone of the bone of the Lord and flesh of the Lord, even the body, the same body that God Almighty walked around in. The Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So then we know that this is happening all over the world, that God is within Jesus, the bodily members of Jesus, and still reconciling the world. For the Bible says, we are in God's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God. So we are ambassadors from another world. We're ambassadors for Christ and from another world. And we're bringing the glad tidings of great joy, and we're trying our best to help everybody. And right now, grace is over all the world and over all people. And everybody is being blessed. They've got medical aid. They can get something for a toothache. Everything is just fine because Jesus died at Calvary. So this grace is here. And they're protected from a lot of the problems that Satan is causing. But Satan is also getting the benefits of those things, because as long as the body is kept intact and kept in real good shape, Satan living on the inside of it, he is escaping the turbulence of that as to the wrath of God. And he's hiding away. And I tell you again, he cannot get near God because he would dissipate. Darkness and light cannot fellowship. Neither can he get near you if you are born again as to your inner man. Your inner man is sealed in the Holy Spirit, and it's a light. It's alive with light, understanding. And Satan cannot get near that because that would destroy him. So you keep yourself as the inner man, and the evil one touch you not. You are dwelling in heaven as your inner man, having been translated into the Spirit of Christ, who the Bible said that the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. So we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the change of the body and the restoration as to the millennium. So then God is in us. See, this great heavenly treasure is in us. And we could just go on and go on those things right there, which I'd like to do. There's nothing I like better. But making reference back to what we said here, Jesus is saying, have faith in God. Now, I won't go through the little thing we usually do here concerning the fig tree and how he cursed it and withered up and these things. You're familiar with it. Now, I want to kind of take another route just for a little bit. And some of you are familiar with the things I'm about to say. Some of you are not. Some of you have heard it, and yet it didn't register. You didn't really conceive of it. But when we say faith, I want to say this again. Sometimes you hear me contest the things that they publish in the paper where it says, and all faiths are coming together. You've heard me say that. And I say, no, that cannot be. That cannot be. Because there is no such thing as all faiths. There is all kind of people that believe. There's all kind of forms of religion and forms of worship. Just like the Muslims and the Jews over there right now, both of them fighting and killing each other when both of them are wrong. See, both of them are wrong. Both of them needs to find God, and it stopped that foolishness. There is no peace to the wicked. So we're children of peace. All of our paths are peace. We meditate in the laws of God day and night. He that keepeth his mind stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And when they say peace in the world, sudden destruction. We are the ones to bring them peace, and they won't listen. So then when we say all faiths, I tell you again, there's one faith. One God, one baptism. And this faith is not your faith. When it says one faith, it is not talking about your believing. Your believing is a human believing that is a derivative from your five senses. And like fingers on a typewriter, this comes from your eye surveillance. It comes from the eyes up here as to the lust of the eyes, as to your thinking, as to the desire of your body, and all of your human senses that makes you a bond child by first birth unto death. As an Adam, all die. You are in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world because you're dependent upon the world for survival. God has subjected the creature to vanity. Not willingly is the creature subjected, not of himself, but God did it in hope, making him subject to vanity to process the plan. And always, I wish we just had days and years to be able to go into all these things and break them down. Had plenty of time to teach them and show you the intricate matter of the details of these things to where you could explicitly understand what we're saying. Where someone says, I know what you're saying. No, you don't know what I'm saying because I haven't said it. So I wish we could go into it and say it. But you do know what I am saying as to my vocal utterance, because I'm reading and telling you that. So then when we go into these things, we just kind of highlight it and run over it and try to give you the basic or the principles of these things that you might at least have a formula in your mind, and maybe you'll dig in. And when you start really trying to understand, God will meet you and the Spirit of God will take you into the intricate matter and show you what these things really are. So when we say faith, in all faiths, there is no all faiths. There is but one faith. And that faith is the faith of Jesus Christ by which ye are sanctified. And because of that sanctification, therefore you have become perfect in the eyes of God. It is a sanctification unto perfection. Because you become perfect, God hath come to be with you, and his presence thus hath glorified you, because he is the great light or the Spirit of glory. Therefore, you are predestinated, you are justified, sanctified, predestinated, and already glorified. And Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. The faith that you want, he started it, and he finished it. It was his faith in his body when he was born into this world. And we'll tell you this right hurriedly, as we said the other night. God, who had been separated as a spirit from the human body by the cunningness of Lucifer, the spirit of iniquity. Satan, knowing that God could not look upon iniquity, therefore he got between the body and God. The way he did this was getting between the woman and her God, which was her Lord, her husband, to show that he had gotten in between the spirit and between Adam, in that the flesh is feminine and it was represented by what we call a woman. So then that was Adam's flesh. And we saw there allegorically what had happened. And here Satan, the spirit of iniquity, had gotten between Christ and his body, or God the great spirit, the light. And when he got Eve's attention and through Eve got into Adam, that automatically put the iniquity between the body and the spirit. And then getting between the body and the spirit, all of a sudden this iniquity appearing, God had to withdraw because he can't look on iniquity. Now Satan had cunningly taken the body so that he as an angelic being or spirit could make himself manifest in the body. See, there are bodiless spirits. There are bodily spirits, and then there are spirits that have bodies. Now, you are a spirit, and you have a body. See, the spirit world is something you don't see. You don't understand. You don't know unless it's revealed to you as to the Spirit and what it is. And that's why that God has given the allegorics of a world creation so that you can see all of heaven in natural types, so that you can see a spiritual world displayed to your human eye and intelligence in these things that you call life and that you call world, the world, which is nothing but vanity and which is nothing but a shadow of that which is to come and which must pass away just as soon as this great light of revelation as to this light coming on the horizon of your heart or dawning as inside when the Bible says to the dawning of the day star within you. Once this light comes up, it eradicates your thoughts and transformates your thoughts until your thoughts that was nothing but a shadow as from your birth, your human mind, your human intelligence, all of these thoughts that is gendered from human senses upon your brain that controls you and causes you to be an instrument of Lucifer and a creature of death. This light coming on the inside eradicates from glory to glory. It completely does away with one thought, another thought, another thought, until you are commanded of God to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That the body of God, which is your body, might be redeemed back to God in that it's been lost to the devil. And today there is a body of the devil and you're caught in there with this and you can't tell the tares from the wheat. And it's early growth. You have to wait for the harvest. At the harvest, as I said, the cocoon will break open. At the metamorphosis and the potential of that life within you, which is elect to sonship as to the God body, will come out of it. I remind you again, the thing that God was trying to do was make Adam God. His purpose was to create a God body. So he wanted to make Adam God and reproduce the God family. And that's why you have a family in the world today, just to show that God wanted a God family. And he allowed all these families for reproduction to bring this about. But all of these families have done only one thing. And that's reproduced an image unto death. And they have constantly reproduced as unto death. And all in Adam are born unto death. Because in Adam all die. But God the Great Spirit made this body so that he could project himself through this body. And man was to be his glory. Man was to be his glory and reproduce his image in the earth. And woman was to be man's glory and reproduce his image. So then it's an interwoven thing. It takes a lot of time to go into it. Great is the mystery of God. But anyway, in doing this, God could not do it on the first leg of the operation. There was no way he could do it. There had to be a feminine species first to bring about a conception and then after that a son. So then, this is why he gave a woman, is to show this as to Adam and Eve. And then it was for us to conceive of the understanding that this male, Adam, was the female. That it was only a male, as we would say, as to a spiritual thing when Adam was illuminated with the mind of Christ. When this great mind was there that he emanated from as through the act of creation, long as this light was upon Adam, this enlightenment, then that meant that Adam was a male and he was called the Son of God and was a figure of him to come who was the true Son of God, in that Adam was only a reflection of this great light that made him to be the Son of God. When the iniquity came, the light withdrew. The sonship was lost. And after that, Adam became the image of Lucifer, the fallen image of Lucifer. Since that time, that has been produced has been the image of Lucifer. Though we say ye are the image of God, yet that's not right. Someone would say, well, I know, Brother Pike, the Bible definitely states that we're made in the image of God. I definitely believe every word of the Bible. I believe what it says. It says that we were made in the image of God, and we were made in the image of God. For God said unto the Son, which was that as to the predestinated, saying, come and let us make man in our own image. And so they did. And as long as he was in the image of God, it was because that the light of the Shekinah was upon him and made him to appear as the image of God. If we are now the image of God, how is it the Bible says that it doth not yet appear what we shall be? But we know that when God appears in the heavens, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we are made in the image of God as in the act of creation. But when the light left, the nature left, another nature came, and a spirit of darkness, and that intellectual reasoning, and it caused man to conform to a beast and became that as to the level of a beast and lost his identity with God. And this is what Calvary is all about. When you're nailed to Calvary by the body of Jesus, that is God pouring out his wrath upon your image, coming in your likeness, in your image, coming in the image of the beast and the image of the serpent, as it was lifted up in the wilderness as a serpent to show that. Then here he is taken to Calvary, and when he is taken to Calvary, that completely does away with your image that God despises, even the bastard child and the fallen one. And that image, he said, I will despise your image in the morning. How can God despise his own image? If I'm made in the image of God, how can he despise me when I am his image? See, you're not in his image as to your first birth. You are in the image of Lucifer. Not only that, but if you're not the predestinated of having the potentiality as to the metamorphosis of the butterfly, as it is typically shown by those things, then that means that you are the seed of the serpent, and it means that you will continue in your image until God comes up in that great light and power and smites you and utterly despises your image and destroys you. So then he hath destroyed the image, Jesus, making him the image of that which is despised, and then withdrawing from him. Remember, Jesus came to the manger because we'd fallen to the beast level. He came to the manger, and what he did, he perfected the church, which was his body, through the years of his administration by his faith. And when he did this, after perfecting this, remember, I remind you again, they said, get out of town. Herod will kill you. He will kill you. Jesus said, tell that fox, I do cures today. That is, I work miracles. And said, the third day I'll be perfected. And so then, the third day, it is shown. And there on the mountain, Jesus is perfected. And there he transfigures on the mountain, appears in glory. And now the church has been picked up from the beast state of the manger and taken into glory between the cherub, and there he was in glory. Now, how did he do this? Glory was in him. All of heaven was in him. God was in him, the fullness. That is, God worked through no one but through him, and worked through him, and the glory that was on the inside of him penetrated the body as heavenly potentiality, and it came into these blood genetics. Like the Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places, which means the mind of Christ. And he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, for now it's made available to you the celestial mind that will make you celestial. Now, let this mind be in you. Give it an allowance. Try to conform to it. Surrender to it. Call on the name of the Lord. This is your great treasure. This is the foreknowledge of God that made you to what you are forever to be. Let this be within you. Once you allow it to come into you as a translated spirit into the spirit of Christ, after that you start transforming from glory to glory in your thoughts and in your mind to form a channel or canal that Christ within your spirit may emanate from your spirit through the transformated thoughts when they are a finished product into your body to transfigure your body. And as Jesus was on the mountain, this happened to him, having finished the course, as Paul said. Now, the church was ready. Now he had to step down out of glory, come back, and die out of the presence of God to become you, that he might atone for your sins, take away your iniquity. Daniel said, and he will come and take away iniquity, being in the image of iniquity. And iniquity did my mother conceive me. And then he done away with the image of iniquity. Now there's no more images of iniquity before God's eyes. There is no living creature in the world that's ever lived or shall ever live that was an image of iniquity in the eyes of God as to what he could see. He could not see that. Jesus took it all away in the foreknowledge of God when the Lamb was slain and it was made manifest at Calvary that there was no more. So all of the sins of the world are gone because sin, as the sentence of death, was in the body. And he destroyed the body, and that gave the spirit a liberty. A liberty in that they'd never come to know sin, and where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. Therefore, they were pure in the eyes of God. And he is patiently waiting the time as to let everybody go through these transitional changes as God the Great Spirit, our Father of Spirits, to bring about your angelic being, which is a spirit, a son of the Spirit, into this wonderful perfection of the second man, Adam, who became a quickening spirit, taking this life from Adam, the beast part, as to that is a vanity that came to be in the eyes of our understanding that we look at today. It'll all vanish away because it's changed through the washing of regeneration into the new world by fastening this body to Calvary, smiting it, withdrawing from it, that darkness come upon it, and God left it in darkness and smote it with all of his fury that he might take you and make you Jesus Christ in the earth, members in particular. The head is at the right hand of the Father, the head of the church, and the head of the members. You're the feminine part. So then that means that he smote Jesus, made him your sin, smote him, withdrew for him, and gave him up so that he could receive you and love you and cherish you unto the end, saying, I'll never forget you. I've blessed you with an everlasting blessing. I've moved the curse. I've taken it away. So then we understand then today we have no motion of sin working within us. We are justified, sanctified, predestinated. We are alive forevermore. We cannot die. We pass from death unto life. We are not under the curse. We're not subject to anything in the world, sickness, or poverty, or anything else, except through the fact that we have failed to perfect our faith as to the full benefit of these things, to where we can completely eradicate the image of the beast as to even sight. But in God's sight, it's not a failure as to that. Christ is faith as to God in Jesus for his body's sake, the head of the church, the male part. He did all of that for us. And when he'd done all of that, he accredited that to the female because she's the weakest species, saying to us that we should give honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. And so then in doing this, he hath overpowered another male, which was Lucifer, even another spirit, and taken the body back, which is his wife, that was stolen away. Now, there was an act of harlotry, and so then it was a lost cause. God had to suffer that as the forerunner of the shadow of that which was to come, as to all flesh being corruptible. And then when he looked for a place of virginity in the world, he could find none, for all flesh had corrupted its way before God. And he found one little place in Mary's womb, the virgin. And into that he went and created a blood cell, and through that virtuous blood cell, he entered into it, and sail upon sail, he built him a body until he thus had an image as to a near kinsman to become what we are, and then dwelt in that body that was perfect and virtuous to do his work and to perfect his work. And then after perfecting the work, had to take this lamb, which was spotless, and make it an atonement to give it up, to smite it, to bring it back to its originality of that of Adam that was spotless, and bring it to this as a human beast. Pardon me. And when then he brought it back to this from the human beast, as smiting that image that knew no sin, taking our sins to make us the righteousness of God, he brought the image back as to us, as to sonship, as to Adam, which was illuminated with the presence of God, as the world is with grace right now when it hides their sins. But this time it was inside of us, and it came forth from within us as the day star of new birth, that the beast part of the outer one, or Satan, Lucifer, the God that's in this world that works through the human senses, could not entice us out again, because it's interwoven within us. So today, now our job is to make this life manifest within our mortal genes. We've entered into a rest, because we believe unto righteousness even his works. Now, believing unto righteousness, we've entered into a rest. For he said the works was finished from the foundation of the world. All you do is believe unto righteousness. Now, all you do is believe unto righteousness, therefore it requires no works. When you believe unto righteousness, the Bible said he that is entered into rest has ceased from his own works. Coming to this to believe, then we realize that our efforts are nothing in the sight of God. It is Christ's faith that wrought this, and God in a human body did all this work for us. And now there is the body finished, the church, at the right hand of the Father, which is the male. Now the female counts nothing as to where it's at right now. The flesh profiteth nothing. So we're the purchased possession to be revealed as the great masterpiece wrapped in the blood of Jesus. It's already called the purchased possession, that he purchased at Calvary with his own blood, and it is his possession. So through the transformation of mind, we're coming to the change and the redemption of the body, which is at hand now. And in doing this, that's why we say as the child is formed into the womb, we get the seed, we receive the semen of God into our heart as the feminine gender. And as we receive it, then we go into hiding. We come out from among them. We're different people. We're out of shape with the world. And now we are, in God's sight, precious, bringing forth his little one. And if you don't bring forth a child, you don't have an inheritance. Your inheritance is the glory within you to change you into that glory, Christ, your hope of glory of the child. So that was the Old Testament teaching. No child, no inheritance. So then we know that we have inheritance. The world that's going around you that's not conceived of this hath no child, has to bring forth Christ as the image in their life. They'll still be eating and drinking and buying and going and selling and frolicking around and doing the things of the world and running after the vain jangles of the world. See, and living it up. And it'll be Satan taking their spirit, parasiting, and using up their few days of grace wherein they have a chance to conceive of this wonderful thing, to bring forth the Son, to have an inheritance, that they might be changed from the molecular side of nothing but an electrical quickening that they've been switched over to from the fall in the garden. Now they have failed to be switched back over if they don't receive the conception. They fail to switch back over to that wonderful quickening, which is the light of God, even the understanding, which is the word, that which Adam was illuminated with. They failed to get back to that, so they don't have life. God said, here is the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Jesus said, here is the Holy Ghost, and he breathed on him and said, live eternally. So one is the breath from life, and thus you become a molecular structure, exposed to the great quickening, but no conception as with Adam. Conceiving rather of the wrong thing, which was the tree of knowledge, and yet showed by the male and the female, in that Adam was not in the transgression, but the woman was the conception of corruption, which means the body. And the sentence of death is in the body, and the male is to Adam was innocent, which means the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Adam came, as to the second man Adam, or Adam the second time, he came to be made a quickening spirit. So then when we come to this, then we realize what God has done in the great mystery, as to the thing that He has freely given to all. And yet we know that this dispensational grace is only for a period of time in those that have their iniquity hid by the blood, even as Judas, to obtain part of the ministry during the administration of the apostles, that at the end they get a sop and the devil enters into them. Because the grace is taken away when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, and this grace that the Bible speaks of, that brings salvation, appearing unto all men, teaching them that they should deny worldly lust and live soberly and righteously in this present world, they don't receive this grace because that brings a new birth. So they don't deny themselves and they don't conform because they didn't conceive. But when you conceive, then you take on this nature that was lost, because the same nature of Satan that came in the fall of the garden has made you to be unto death. Now, being born again, you have received the nature of Christ, even that Shekinah that Adam lost, to make you to start conforming back toward the image of your heavenly Father, to prove that you're not the seed of the serpent, as unto his image and unto death, as the little worm that crawls down in the hole, but rather that rent veil of the worm, as the serpent that hung at Calvary through the metamorphosis that releases the potentiality of the butterfly or the heavenly creature, breaking the laws of gravity as to the earth, going into the presence of God. And now you've done that through Christ as the inner man, and now you're dwelling in heaven as your spirit has been translated into the Spirit of Christ, which is in the kingdom of God, for the Spirit of Christ is the kingdom of God within you. Well, with this little bit we're trying to hurry and crowd in tonight, we can see then that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are thus ready for the chains. Someone would say, when I get ready for the chains. No. When you was translated into the kingdom of God, you was ready for the chains. The only thing that has kept you from changing is you must make this power of chains manifest in your mortal genes by the transformating of your mind, as to give a channel whereby this might be released in your body to make the change. You already are translated into heaven and into the kingdom of God as to the inner man. You already have heavenly treasures, the mind of Christ, or that life within your bodily being. And all of this is preordained to be made manifest in your mortal genes for the change. It's already there, but it's your submission, your conduct, your approval, and the fact that you did conceive, that this child is to form within you to come to the birth and the change. And that means it's up to you as to form this faith, taking your mind from your believing and changing it into the believing of God, that you might have the faith of Jesus Christ that wrought this in the body in your behalf. So then we see the whole thing is an exchange of your body, and an exchange of your spirit, and an exchange of your mind, that you might have an exchange of your life, temporal to eternal, and corruption to celestial, and incorruption. Now, when we realize this, we know then the whole transition is by faith. Enoch believed, he was translated that he should not see death. Ye have believed, and you have been translated from death unto life. Now, this must be made manifest in your mortal creature, that it might come to be that you're changed in your mortal creature, and as the light comes into the filament, into the bulb, then it shines out and eradicates the shadows of your environment to bring in the millennium as to the restoration of the celestial world, as the glory fields the Aryan drive, the creatures of darkness back, and brings in your revealed substance that's been hid from you by the intellectual rudeness of the darkness of the night, as Satan has done this to take it away from you and live in your body and parasite and use that to his benefit while you can't even see it until your time expires, and then that's over. And that way he stays out of the places of torment. He can have that light because he doesn't dissipate, because you have a certain grace period where this grace is to you and this life is to you. And as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, he can sap that life through you because he don't get near the light, and yet he gets the light through you because the light is broke down to you in love and compassion until you come to the knowledge of the truth. And therefore he can sap it. See, but otherwise, if he went into the presence of it, he is darkness and he hath nothing from God but the wrath, and all of a sudden he'd be gone, be destroyed, as it will be at the end of the millennium, as ours are mine, when he comes forth. So then when we talk about the faith of Jesus Christ, realizing that this is the faith of Jesus Christ, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, and this faith that Joshua used to command the sun to stand still, open the Red Sea, and contend for this wonderful faith that brings you salvation, even the faith of Jesus Christ. For he dealt a measure of faith unto every man, but this faith, all men have not faith. So this is the faith, one faith, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author of your faith. He started it, and he finished it. For your faith is his faith. And he finished it. He started that faith. He finished it. He fulfilled the law, every jot and every tittle, so that you could have that faith that was finished at Calvary. When he said, it is finished. Now he's dealing it unto you according to the measure of whatever you will allow, as to the mind, according to the measure of whatever you will allow. For it comes with the mind as to the measure of the mind. And the mind automatically causes a constraint as to a conformity of submission as to your conduct. It will be according to your measure of mind. If there is no conduct of God, then there is no mind. See, it's not that I'm doing anything as to work for salvation. That's all in the faith. That's all in the works of Christ. That's all given to me through the forbearance of God as he suffers my mannerism while Jesus wrought this for me. See, and have he takes pity upon me until we can come to the change. So then, it's not that. It's like an apple tree. It's not that the apple tree bears apples to try to prove to you that it is an apple tree. It doesn't do that. That's not what it does. It is an apple tree because the seed, like the semen, is planted there and it comes forth with an apple nature. Therefore, it will, if it's healthy, produce apples. And producing the apples don't make it an apple tree. It is a proof that it is an apple tree because it is producing its product. But otherwise, though it produces its product according to its nature, that is a proof of its nature. But that does not make it an apple tree. It's because it is an apple tree that it could produce an apple as its product. So then, you are to make manifest in your mortal genes this heavenly treasure you already have by grace, because you are elect. You are God's people, and you must transformate in mind and produce the fruits of the Spirit as the proof that you do have this wonderful nature on the inside. And the fact that you produce the fruits proves the nature, and if you don't have the fruits, you don't have the nature. Because it would be impossible to have the nature and not bring forth the apple, as we would say. So then we can see that's why God likens us to a fruit tree. Now, if we know this, then that means that God has, as I said, that this faith, the only faith, turn my people from darkness unto light. That is, from your mind of intellect, the tree of knowledge, to the tree of life, as to the word of light and life. Paul, turn my people unto the faith which is within me, by which they are sanctified. So then we see this faith, which we'd like to comment on tonight, has to make it, to bring it down to a practical use for you. But I'm not going to be able to do that. But then we see, so we understand now, by eyes of understanding, that being enlightened, that we are comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, since Calvary it's revealed, of what God did in his foreknowledge. And the light now shineth, the true light now shines. This is the condemnation that is in the world. This light of understanding has come to know to do right and please God. But men don't want to please God. They love their own way, the spirit of darkness. Darkness rather than light. So their deeds are evil. And that means that that's what will condemn them in the day of judgment. Because they were not willing to go this route. Now, that means that no life without this light, this word. No life. This faith, therefore, the faith of Jesus Christ is yours for the asking, yours for the contending, yours as a gift from God. And this faith can do anything you want to say, and it will be there. Ask, you can have it. Decree it in your heart, don't doubt. Whatever you say, that's what you'll have. Ask when you pray, believe you receive it, ye shall have it. As I said, I wish we could go on from here to kind of break that down to show you how that would work. But anyway, you know up until this point, at least through the hurrying and the crowding around here, that there is such a thing as the faith. And there is such a thing that belongs to you. And that everything depends on that faith. That faith is what sanctifies you. So then with this, I tell you again, stop and think. Christ is your works. The faith is your connection with God. The just shall live by faith. No faith, you don't live. Eve lost her faith. The connection was broke. She died. So then, the faith of Jesus Christ, he wrought the works, developed the mind, grew in the grace and knowledge to develop the mind, and became God in perfection in the flesh. And it is transferred to you as to a measure, as to a membership, and he the fullness as the head. Collectively speaking, you make up the God body as to the fullness, ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. It's up to you to make this manifest in your mortal genes if you be the predestinated as to those of full knowledge. If not, then that means if you cannot manifest, you don't have it. If you're not out of proportion with the world to show that you're carrying the child, then if it don't show, that's because the child isn't there. If there's no motion within you as a quickening, that means that the child is not there. You've got a still birth, and that couldn't be Christ because Christ cannot die. So then that means you've got a still birth. You've conceived of the wrong thing, and in carrying this, if you've got this spirit, the Bible said, if this spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, Christ shall also by his spirit quicken your mortal body. That is, as the babe moves within the wound of your heart. See, and so then if you've got this 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever, then you will see something in your life that will make you mortify the deeds of the flesh, deny yourself, come out of the world, lose sight of all the TV programs that's non-virtuous, the movies, the magazines, the things on the street, people, the sight of the eyes, and everything that's like the world. And the world will be gone out of you, and the kingdom of God will be proved to have been in you by the quickening. All right, let's stand together. This faith, we'd like to elaborate on so much extensively, but just these few short remarks tonight should make you want to contend for the faith, because it is available in just a little while. It won't be available anymore. Work while it is day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. Or work while the mind of Christ is here, which is the day of understanding. For soon the darkness of intellectual ignorance of Lucifer, of through the educational system of the world, will come, completely take over the people as gross darkness, and there will be gross darkness to the extent that you cannot work the works of Christ. They will not allow you to. They'll boycott you out. They're doing it right now. In that one world religion thing through this world religion of world ethics. So then work now while you have this opportunity. Soon it's going to be gone and you can't get this faith. You won't be able to get it. You won't be able to get this all of the great spirit that gives this faith. And the Bible said at the midnight cry, the virgins had it that were wise. Only the virgins that was wise, not the others. So everything is drawing to a close real fast. Darkness is falling. For the evening time was that gross darkness shall cover the people. And it's just about covered them. intellectual world of academics has almost taken over and completely ruled out anything that is authentic as to the Bible or that is spiritual. And they'll call you witches as they did in the early days of the Catholic Church when they killed spiritual people, burned them at the stake, and called them witches. And you'll find out, as you're finding out right now, that everything will go into darkness. Even to the present time, they're already disputing over this that is red letters, as we say, in the Bible of what Christ has spoken. And they have disputed it so until they have almost completely eradicated everything that the Lord Jesus said, saying that it's not authentic, that it really wasn't Jesus, it really wasn't God that said it. Seeing that's a cunning trick of the devil. If he can eradicate the words of life from the Bible, take away the words of Jesus, he can leave you the Bible and all the writings of all of the people and just take away the words of life and your Bible won't mean anything to you. So that's the way that they're doing it. And it's happening right now in your day. They've almost got that thing finished as of now. I say that it's the greatest display of ignorance that's ever been in the world. Ever been in the world. They, as human beings, with their intellectual ability of scholarship, their little old puny brain, and their little old minute understanding like that of a peanut compared to God. See, and they're trying to judge God and decide whether God said it right or didn't say it right, or whether it's important or not important. A man talking to God reminds me of Peter when Peter said, "Nay, Lord," when the Lord said, "Yes, Peter. You're going to deny me." "Oh, no, Lord." And like Abraham, when he was down there and said, "Lord, it's not like you to destroy the righteous with the wicked," as though God would do that. And as Moses, when he said, "Nay, Lord, you can't bring your people out here and do that. They'll say you just brought them out here to destroy them in the wilderness." How can we, with our puny mind and brain, contest God? It's the greatest display of ignorance that we've ever had. So then that means that those men, God allowed that for one reason. That was to show you that he was on your level as to a human being, that he would listen to a human being if you plead your cause. See, even though those men were all out of order as far as telling God what to do, he knew what he was going to do and why he was going to do it and when he was going to do it, knew why he was saying what he said. And it all proved out to be thus as that way. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we meet the many loved ones we've known here below. Gathered on the blessed hilltop with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, wonderful day, glad day, a glorious day, there with all the holy angels, that will be done day. When we live a million years in that wonderful place, basking in the love of Jesus, beholding his face, it will seem but just a moment of sharing his grace. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, one day, a glorious day.
there with all the holy angels. That will be a glad reunion day. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Glad day, what a glorious day. There with all the holy angels, with loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion. Can you sing it again? Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day.
Everything shaping up for the end time, we can tell that. The trouble in the Far East. Problems. We'd made the statement that there would they'd bring about that United States of Europe. And sure enough, I understand that Mr. Clinton tried to place the United States in the hands of the foreign country, to make them part of it, to say that whatever you want to do, that's what we'll do. And the legislators would not do it, from what I understand. But they said that Mr. Clinton overrode them to this extent. He still told them, said, whatever y'all want to do over there, you just command us, that's what we'll do. Which really puts our people in jeopardy. Now, that all agrees with what we thought, and Mr. Clinton is doing that because it's the old thing of saving face. He knows he's lost out with the people, with the public. He can't continue on with his administration to any advantage. He had hoped to take control of the world and be like a king over the world. Instead, he did what we said in polluting the whole world by what he did. And now, trying to save face, the only way that he feels that he can have any support as to the strength of those that would stand by him would be those of the foreign nations, and that in allowing them to take control of America and just put it in there, which is God's plan to suffer it since the government of the United States is gone, that it will become part of the United States of Europe, to put it into that, under that control. And of course, it'll be forced into that whether America wants to go or not, because when they bring up the common market of Europe, then the import into America will be so seized and stopped until it all will go in that direction and America will feed out of the hands of the United States of Europe. Also, we said those that come into the United States, as we saw them in the vision, coming into the great Olympics, the Super Bowls, that there, we saw it as they come to Atlanta, Georgia, that Atlanta, Georgia would grow from the little thing it used to be and become an international city and become the greatest city in the world, if not one of the greatest. And I understand that already. Now they say it is the greatest in sports and the greatest in an airport. And now they say it is the greatest in crime. And so then when I saw these people come from all around as they came to look down at Atlanta, Georgia, coming in, no doubt I felt it was the people coming into the Super Bowl and to the Olympics from all over the world. And when they came, I looked, and they looked down on Atlanta, coming in around the top like birds looking down, like they would be in the Super Bowl looking down on the ball players. And looking down, and there as they looked down, they were so delighted. It was the thrill of their heart to get to come to Atlanta, Georgia. And it looked like that there were businessmen that wanted to make great investment. And when they looked down, all of a sudden I saw their faces go into a frown, and they begin to frown. And I suddenly realized they had frowned on Atlanta, Georgia, and they were drawing back like that as to say no, no. And see, I understand just recently, a few days ago, that something occurred in Atlanta concerning selling I don't know what they were selling. Maybe some ticket, something that had to do with the ball game or something. I'm not too good of a sportsman or those things. I'm not up on them too much. But they were selling something that had to do with the ball games or whatever. See, and something happened that they weren't satisfied with. They were not satisfied with it because some kind of ruling or something happened. And because of this, they did frown on it and make some smart remarks about they didn't want no part of it because they saw what was happening to Atlanta, Georgia, and that the people within their own radius and confines couldn't handle their situations, and they didn't want to get involved. So that's where it's at. See, everything is laying right in there for the end time, and it's up to you and I to do our little part. Remember, I saw also Atlanta, Georgia burn. And the many other things that we predicted and the different things that's come to pass, many, many things, we see it all falling into place. And things that we've said is not yet come to pass, it will come to pass. That's in the future. So seeing that the Gentile days are over, and now God is making known to the church the manifold wisdom of God is to the heavenly places as to perfect their faith. We're here for the perfecting of your faith, that you might be transfigured or translated, or as it was said, caught up in the change as the rapture. That's what we're here for, is to perfect your faith. And we'd like to get into the intricate matter concerning this as to the how vital it is to you. And like they got a little thing going now, they call it virtual reality. And this virtual reality, this is what we're coming to now. The reality of God is to this real virtual reality. We'd made a prediction years ago that they would come to the day when the walls all around us would become alive with sound and with motion. And they're doing it, and they call that virtual reality. See, so they can just make you part of what it is. And years ago, I saw where the walls come alive, and I went through into the walls. I could go into the walls, into another world. See, it's like it makes you become what that is, like Jesus that went through the walls, and you become part of that dimension. See, and you become interwoven, like you do in a movie when your mind gets caught away. And this is what's going to happen to you with this right here. Through this great drama, as you believe and begin to think, you're going to walk through the walls of resistance of the carnality, so the shadows will be eliminated, and you're going to find yourself another creature in another world because you already are. God calling those things that are not as though they are, because he's already done all those things in Christ Jesus to the finish, and says now to them that can trust my word to believe and call things that are not as though they are, because I said they are, and that I've already finished all of it in my foreknowledge by Jesus Christ, then you do that, and thus you'll partake of the great benefit of that which is not, because it is in Christ. So the world can't get this. They don't understand that. That boggles their mind. Knowing this then, we're down at the end of the way. Let's just get into this thing once and for all. Come out from the world. Be a separate people. Don't touch the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Let's sing another little chorus together. I love him. The proof of that love is that you keep my commandments. Can you sing that? All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Sing it again now. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine.
every verse and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. Once again, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word. What faith? Christ is faith. For does my faith come by the hearing of the Word? My faith don't come by the hearing of the Word. My faith comes from my human senses as to my believing. If I did not have human senses, I would not even have a mind, let alone faith. So faith cometh by hearing of the Word. And tonight we're here to preach the Word to make you to be perfected in faith. In that we make you to be perfected in the mind. So go into all the world and preach, not the ideology of man and theology of the shifting sands of theology, but preach the Word, that faith may come to them, that they may be saved, sanctified in my sight. So then examine yourselves tonight and see if you be in the faith. We're in the latter time. Hundreds of thousands are departing from the faith, even Pentecostal people that have followed after the Word in some measure in their understanding. All of a sudden it's come to a hard place as to where that the Word will not fit their panorama of life anymore. And it won't fit their desire anymore. So they're seeking out their own teachers, having itchy ears. And now they want to do it their way, and they're taking whatever the changes of the revised versions of God's Word is. And they're using these things to the detriment of their soul, and they're listening to preachers all across the world that has conglomerated their mind and got them boggled down with buying and selling and trying to be something in the ecclesia of today as to the legislative powers and the rights, as they call it, of people's rights, and trying to get in to the things of the world as to what the Bible said as to the last days would be, the Laodicean church age, meaning people's rights. And so they've got their people's right rule and law that has made a mucky mess out of everything. So then Laodicea, they're religious and lukewarm, and God said, they have become vomit on my table, and I'll spew them out of my mouth. And they've got nothing but fussing and fighting. They make all kinds of agreements, just like they have over there in Israel. And Daniel said, as the Spirit spoke to them, or spoke to him in that day, the angel said, and their agreements will not stand. Though they make them, they will not stand, because God is not in their agreements, and they will not stand. And there's no peace to the wicked at all. So then we see that means that the end of the world is here. The end of all things. The end of motherhood. The end of fatherhood. The end of decency of a girl and a boy, of a child. No more. They are hard-hearted and without affection and without feeling. And they can talk to you, your own son and daughter, talk to you and treat you as though a devil was speaking within them. And have no feeling, stoned out, hardened, going after the passions of the flesh and going after the things of the world and going after educational theory and trading their virtues and their lives for the thoughts of filth of the old tree of corruption and the house of prostitution, and turning their children and themselves, their wives, into prostitutes and whoremongers and liars and cheats and robbers. And this mind is causing the devil to be made manifest in them.
For there's nothing done in the dark that won't come to the light. And these devils that's on the inside is manifesting themselves. And though people struggle to get loose from them, they cannot. Because they make these people to be devils. They turn them into devils. They turn them into freaks. They turn them into people that are insane. They turn them into robbers. They turn them into liars. They've turned them into cheats. They've turned them into all kinds of things. War and killing. All this undermining, conniving stuff. And you have legislators that are doing this. And they're hatching them out of college as freaks. And putting them into the House of Representatives to represent you. So then God's about to pull you away from it all. See, the mind of Christ, they're getting away from the faith. The faith that sanctifies, that gives us a holy world. So don't do that. Follow after the Word with all of your heart. Love the Word. The Bible said, if you have not a love for the Word as to the truth, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I'll send you strong delusions. I'll cause you to believe a lie and be damned. I'll lead you into temptation. So let's pray that God will deliver us from temptation, deliver us from evil, and take away all of these things that we might be free from the corruption of the world. Some of you don't want to be free. Some of you don't want to be delivered. Some of you don't ever even lay your carnal mind down during the whole time I'm here ministering. You always are so skeptic in your mind toward me the whole time I'm up here trying to talk to you and looking for my faults and seeking to find something wrong. Evil, wretched, unclean, conniving minds. What the Bible calls evil surmisings. See, while there are a few of you at rest in your body, in the trust of a shepherd and in the trust of the confidence of Christ in me, to listen to the Word and to follow me and to go after me, not knowing me after the flesh, but looking beyond the flesh to know God within His temple, that you might be free from the corruption of your evil conniving and of that thing of your evil surmising. See, so then, it'd be better if you get the spirit of discernment, you'd find out a whole lot more about me and about your fellow man. And wouldn't fall into the snare of the devil and the condemnation of Satan. So to you that love the Lord, that's entrusted your soul to the Christ within me as your shepherd, tonight I bless you in the name of the Lord. Them that's conniving and them that are skeptics and them that are always scrutinizing me, finding fault, I do not bless you in anything. But them that love the Lord, I bless you. I bless you and you'll be blessed. For the Bible said, whoever we bless will be blessed. You'll be blessed in your daily life. You'll be blessed in your health. You'll be blessed in your finance. You'll be blessed in God's presence. With God giving you the gifts and God giving you the Holy Spirit. And God giving you peace and God giving you the rest that you're seeking for. And giving you the satisfaction of your heart. Even bringing your loved ones in as you believe and pray. So God bless you tonight. God bless you tonight. The wicked cannot stay in the congregation of the righteous. After a while, they'll fly away like the chaff. But you stand with the Lord and you do the things I tell you. And you love the Lord and believe what I'm telling you. Examine yourself. See if you love the Word. If you love the Word, abide in the Word. The Word abide in you. Ask what you will. I'll do it. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. All right. We're going to lift our hands together, close our eyes, and sing this little chorus. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give God glory, all ye people, for His blood is washed away every stain. Once again, so I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give
glory ye people, for the blood has washed away all of your stain.
Once again,
so I want to praise my Lord. I want to praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
I'm going to ask Dirt the Lees if he'll come up and dismiss us while he's coming.
Glory on ye people.
You know, you need to watch every night that I call somebody up here. Every night when I call somebody up here, there's usually a significance as to the one that comes up. And there are spiritual values that we fail to see if we reason in our human reason. So tonight, while we sing that once again, Earthlies is going to come and dismiss us. I say again one more time as we leave you tonight, examine yourself. The change is close by. With the trouble in the Middle East, that means everything is brewing and everything is about to blow up. See, I told you that they would do that. And that they would start a dispute between the Arabs and the Jews. And the thing will start and extend on until it strikes the middle of the week. And it'll be an up and down and up and down. And there's no peace to the wicked. And when they cry peace, sudden destruction. Now they're calling for Russia to come in. They're calling for the United States to come in, which is a league. Clinton has already went into Russia since Mr. Bush has overthrown that thing, and since Betty and I was over there praying during that time of breaking down the middle wall of partition, as to say the Iron Curtain, and now they've become a league as America and Russia together, and now they're going in there, moving in there. The Papacy Church is also caught in it with Mr. Gorbachev now, as to that religion that'll boycott to the number, and where you can't buy nor sell. And it'll be a religious thing, like I told you, as to the covenant, when it comes and when it'll be broken. And then all of a sudden the rabbi of Israel has come to be pulled into it, all of them coming into the confederation. Now they're finding fault with Israel. See, Israel had nothing to do with that man, you know that. And yet they're finding fault with Israel. Every little thing happens, they want to jump on them. And now, here it is, though they have been murderous and slaughtered millions of people. We just got a letter from one of our followers. I think it's down in maybe Malaysia, is it? I'm not sure. Somewhere down in there. And they said that those people are coming in there just slaying them and killing them. And they're doing it with a silent like weapon as to a sword or some kind of knife, and just walking in there and ripping the women up and slitting the necks of the people and the little children and just leaving them laying. And said, the brother said, please pray for us. Said the law or the government won't do anything, because that's what they are. They are the government. And they are just putting the Christian people to death. And it's such a horrible thing. Our literature is going in there and we're helping some. And they're translating for us and publishing with all boldness our literature. Pray for them. See, and it's just the reaping that they're getting. Even though I feel sorry for the human beings, no matter what their form of worship is, and the killing and all these kind of things, and God is trying to do away with it, saying, let whosoever will come. But when you worship a pagan god by going after the things of the world, where it's idolatrous to worship of an automobile or a car or jewelry or spending or buying or salaries or jobs, or whether it's the vain jangles of the world as nightclub and dining or whatever your god is, you worship the wrong god and you don't follow the word and you don't submit to the word, you're going to die. you're going to be killed. That's just the light thing over there. Hell is waiting even beyond that. For all of those people that was not worshiping God, those people go into hell. Everyone that dies through wrecks and their frolics and their dining, buying and selling and living and their funerals and all these other kind of things. Though the funeral looks ever so good and ever so pretty, they're going into hell. Like the skeptics that stand here before me, that I can't get that mind out of my presence of one that does it so much. It's so aggravating to me. I don't know why. You'll repent, get off and get straightened out and come right back again. And he's got a power of lust that works on him. And because of that, he's always finding fault with me. And it's like a prick in my side. The Bible said if you spare any of them, they're like pricks in your side. These people go to hell. That is the carnal mind, and that is death. See, while other people are reverent and loving the Lord and praying and meditating, see, and it's like a thorn among the roses. So then, that means that everything is at an end. See, those people are going to hell. So all these people that are in prison, that you find that's in prison, that's going to the electric chair, and all these people that are being killed in wrecks, whether they're killed in wars, whether they're killed by diseases, or whatever it might be, they're going to hell. Those people are going to hell unless they are following Christ and the Word. And those are just light things. All of them. See, God is letting those things happen that seem so horrible to us. And that's nothing but just little light things to try to get them to stop. Even the electric chair is just a light thing to try to turn them around. Because beyond the electric chair, there's an eternal burning in a lake of fire where there's never rest, day or night. And especially to them that take the mark of the beast or the number of his name, which is upon the people right now. So then as we sing this one more time, Searcher says, listen to me and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never given him your heart, now's the time. I say these things. A lot of times you think, you know, well, we've heard, we understand. And you're very reverent, very kind, these kind of things. But see, I remind you that I'm talking to the world. I'm speaking to the world. These go out in books around the world. And I'm speaking to the world of them that are lost and them that are undone, them that are doing these things, them that are altogether different from some of you that are hungering and thirsting and starving for a crumb. See, while you take it for granted, while you're rich, sitting at the table eating out of a silver spoon, and they're begging for a crumb, just for a crumb. All right, I know you're resenting me because I said something. That's okay. I'm speaking to the one that can't get straightened out. That's okay. It don't matter whether you resent me or scrutinize me, whatever. You need to be born again. You've been with me a long time, and you need to be born again. You're in and out like a swing and up and down like a seesaw. And then when you're not doing that, in your mind, you're the same way all the time. And it's because you're not living an overcoming life. In your mind has to try to meditate in his laws and love the Lord and keeping your mind off of foolishness. You got too much foolishness about you. And the Bible said the thoughts of foolishness is sin. Trying to get people's attention. That's what's causing your problem. You're in the flesh, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. The devil, thine adversary, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I better hurry and get you out of here because I feel some try to, they're just barely holding back since I started reproving devils. And they'll start popping out like popcorn. God's had them under control here long enough to minister to the saint. And now they're getting ready to pop their heads out because they know that I know their hiding place. And it makes them angry and rebellious and finding fault. They're so carnal, they don't live for God. See, they're not living for God. They're not living for God. See, I'm preaching a little now, just teaching a little while ago. But they're not living for God. And that's why they're pricks in my side. I don't care how much they come and offer their services to me or come into the service to listen to me. They're still of the devil. See, and they're following the devil. And this is their nature. It's a fleshly thing, a carnal thing. And it's a resentful thing, a fault-finding thing, a scrutinizing thing, an ugly thing, a suspicious, evil-surmising thing. Let's sing this one more time. Now we When I say we will praise Him, are you letting your spirit praise God? God is a spirit. You must worship God with your spirit. Are you turning your spirit loose to God tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth? And the Bible said we worship God with our mind. Let your mind be pure. If anything have any virtue in them, think on these all through the day. If anything be lovely, be pure. Think on these. Build the mind of Christ in you that you might have the faith of Christ. For the change is coming. Unless you have the faith, you won't go. Enoch was translated by faith. You must be translated by faith. Even your change in new birth as to your spirit, that must be by faith. And then from there, it must be a change by faith of a graduality, a transformating of mind until you come to the change of the body. Then it must be by faith that your body is transfigured. So tonight, don't fail to get this wonderful blessing from God while you have a chance for the minister to bless you and remit your sins.